Friends, good morning. Thank you. What a pleasure to see you here. Thank you. I hardly knew I was gone. We thank you for being here. Others are on their way. It is good that we are gathered. Welcome to everyone here, especially to you who may not have been here for a while or who may be here for the first time ever. As always, there is an insert inside our worship bulletin. Please take a look at that, looking for announcements that may have some interest to you. We invite all of you, if you're able, to stay after worship for some time of friendship and refreshments downstairs. And then if you're able, there's an hour from 11:30 to 12:30 when we have programs and opportunities for discussion that strengthen us in our life together. Will you join me now in the responsive call to worship? Grace and peace to you in the name of Jesus the Christ. Grace and peace for us and for all, for now and forever.
If you are able, please stand. And let us pray. God of wonders beyond the galaxies, you are holy, holy, holy. The universe displays your majesty. You are holy, holy, holy. You are the creator, creating the billions of stars in our galaxy and the billions of galaxies beyond. You have created us, for we know that we did not create ourselves. And your word tells us that you know and care for each one of us personally. You are the sustainer, ordering the universe in a magnificent unfolding of beauty and life. By your power, all things are held together, even unto giving us this day and our next breath. You are the Redeemer. We admit that we are by nature self-centered, selfish, and fearful beings, and that the world in which we live often encourages and rewards those thoughts and behaviors. Left to ourselves, our hearts can grow cold. Lord, redeem us from our brokenness and heal our wounds. Through your word and your spirit, we sense a better way, the way of love and forgiveness, the way of generosity, the way of faith and abundant life. Help us to follow you. We are gathered here this morning to worship and to praise you, and to be nourished and refreshed in your way. Lord, we long for your presence. Open our minds and our hearts that we might know you and serve you better. And we ask these things in the powerful name of your Son, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Amen. Wrongdoing is forgiven, whose sin is covered.
Happy are those whom the Lord does not hold guilty, and in whose spirit there is no deceit.
You, O God, are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with the songs of rescue.
Be glad in the Lord.
May be seated. Our epistle reading this morning is from Paul's second letter to Corinthians. So, if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled himself through Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. Thanks be to God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Oh.
Would you join me, please, in our responsive confession? Merciful God, we confess that we have strayed from your ways. You gave us the earth for our home, but we squander earth's resources and hoard its bounty. You gave us neighbors to love, but we pursue selfish ambitions. You gave us the commandments that lead to human flourishing, but we break your law and forsake your love. Forgive us our sin and bring us to repentance. Draw our wandering hearts back to you that we may find freedom in obedience to your love through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. By the love of God in Christ, you are forgiven and set free from the power of guilt. In Christ, all things are made new. See, the old has passed away, and the new has come. Let us pray. Gracious God, we find ourselves thankful for the slow but steady turning of the season. Cold and snow are not quite done with us, but we have already seen what is growing underneath and rising already toward blossom. And we have heard the music of birdsong, and we have noticed that the light is growing longer. Our various burdens and struggles may remain, yet we notice this resilience, all these signs of inbreaking newness. And what we pray now is that we may take this newness as a sign for our own. So help us to notice some other things as well. Help us to notice how much we are cared for, that there are those who love us, that there is goodness in the world and people who inspire us, and that though our failures and sins are many, your love makes us free for new beginnings. Keep us, we pray, from ever forgetting the beauty and the bounty and the power of the blessing in which we live. We pray today for those whose lives are broken, for those whose fears are great, for those whose pain is deep, for those who struggle to see a way forward. By your grace, may your suffering children, your grieving, struggling children, be met by tender mercies from your healing presence. And may the church, this church, be a living sign in the world of that present for one another and for many. And now we pray for these by name, for Helen Louise Bowser, Carol Stumpf, Peter Beauvais, Roberta Hawes, Jean Evie, Joan and Lynn Blunt, for Stacy, Bob Simpson, Doris George, Bill McKeachy, Juanita Dieterle, Pat Hubel, Iris Martin, Anna Kirstein, Saul Nay Lynn, Judy Stratman, Liz and Micah Dalton, Robert L., Marissa Alanese, Jim Terrace, Alan Case, for Pat, Dawn, Dale, Gloria, for Betty, Rebecca Levinson, for Abigail Sullis, for Kendra Hussey, for Kate, David, Valerie, Tim, and now into your embracing compassion, we offer our silent prayers. All of these prayers, along with our trust and our great thanks, we offer in the strong name of Jesus, who taught us together to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Will you stand with me for the reading of our gospel? This is the gospel according to Luke. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So Jesus told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me." So the father divided his property between the two sons. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country, and there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.'" So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his slaves, "Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, and get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. The slave replied, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has got him back safe and sound." Then the older son became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him, but he answered his father, "Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him." Then the father said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found." The word of the Lord. You may be seated, and I invite the children forward as we sing.
Got some really good news to share today. That God always loves us, no matter what, and that God likes to throw parties. All the scriptures today talk about God throwing parties in some way. So that's the good news, that God loves us all the time, and God likes to throw parties. So we have some party things here in a second. But, you know, we also hear that sometimes we move away from God. Sometimes maybe when we're feeling sad or mad or frustrated or really proud or things are going really well, sometimes we can move away from God. We're going to act this out. Let's see. Alexandra, would you do me a favor? Would you be the first one to walk away from God? You're going to walk this way. Okay, and while Alexandra is feeling in kind of a mood, she's moving away towards God. I have some things for you. Can you hold this? And can you put that on? Oh, remember this good news that God likes a party? God likes a party. Let's make sure everybody has a party thing. Let's make sure everybody needs some more balloons out here. Annie, can you wear that? Thank you. Another maraca. Okay, so, Alexandra was moving away, but look, she has stopped, and she's coming back. Alexandra, can you come move back towards God? Sometimes we make decisions to go away, and when she comes back, we all have to throw a party. Can you throw a party? Woo, throw a party. Oh, God loves you. Come back, come back. Oh, it happens. Sometimes we move away from God. God always is loving, and sometimes we change our mind and move back towards God. We're going to do it one more time because we hear this over and over again, that God forgives us and God surrounds us with songs of rescue. Let's see, who else? Eve, are you up for walking that way? Eve, can you walk in the back and stop? Eve's going to start walking away too. Maybe she's had a funky day. Her feelings maybe have been hurt. She's moving away from God's love. But she knows that she is a new creation and God has new things in store for her. So she stops and she comes back. And what do? We throw a big party. Can you hoot and holler? Woohoo! Come on back, Eve! Oh, we love you! Oh. We hear this, that God is always drawing us back to God's self, reconnecting us and throwing a really good party. It'll happen. We'll choose to walk a different direction, and God's love is always pulling us back in. And then always, God throws a party. Will you put your party thing up above your head? We're going to pray with our party things above our heads. Perfect. Oh, Alexandra, you need a party thing because you were off walking. Okay. Let's pray. God of the parties, thank you for always loving us. Help us to turn towards you because we like to be at the party with you. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Pray with me. Lord, now may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. A woman had two sons. This isn't a parable from the Bible. Women don't show up all that much in those. This is a true story. A woman had two sons, identical twins, in a rural village in Colombia in 1988. Right after they were born, one of those babies needed medical treatment. So a family member traveled the 6 hours to the capital city of Bogota to get the newborn to the hospital. At the same time, at the same hospital in Bogota, another woman gave birth to identical twin sons. When it was time for the babies to be discharged, there was a mix-up. The baby boy from the rural village was accidentally switched with one of the twin babies from the city. So, Jorge and Carlos were raised as fraternal twins in Bogota, and William and Wilbur were raised as fraternal twins in Santander. 25 years later, William and Wilbur moved from their rural village to Bogota, where they both got jobs at a butcher shop. One day, a co-worker of Jorge's came into the shop and was surprised to see Jorge working behind the counter. Only it wasn't Jorge, of course. It was his, unknown to him, identical twin brother, William. One thing led to another, and the co-worker arranged a meetup for Jorge and William. Wilbur came along. Surrounded by friends, Jorge and William, identical twin brothers, separated at birth, Jorge and William met for the first time and were astonished at how completely identical they were. They had a deep, instant connection. And then, when Jorge saw Wilbur, it was like looking at his brother, Carlos. So the three men and their friends hurried home to the apartment of Jorge and Carlos, who had been raised as fraternal twins in Bogota. I hope you're following all of this. To share with Carlos their astonishing discovery. Each man unknowingly had a long-lost identical brother. Each man had been raised as a fraternal twin. Lost, but now found. There was a lot of laughing, happy surprise, wonder, joy. But the discovery was difficult for Carlos. To him, it felt like his whole life had been a lie. He had loved, adored the mother who had raised him, who was now deceased. He loved his sister, whom he now learned he was not even related to. What did family mean anymore? Who was his family? And who was he, now that he knew the truth? Who were any of them? Who were they to each other? There were other losses, too, not just for Carlos, but for all four of them and for their extended families. Lost time with parents and siblings and extended family. Lost opportunities. A brother raised in the poor rural village who should have been raised in the city with all the opportunities that his identical twin had. The young men described their experience of finding each other as a feeling like vertigo. It was like going down a hole and not being able to find bottom. The falling never stopped, it seemed. You just keep going down. You don't have to find a long-lost, surprise, identical twin to understand that feeling of free fall. Sooner or later, all of us have experiences that upend our understanding of ourselves, of our reality, of our relationships, of our past, of our future. It can feel like falling. A hole opens up in our lives. We lose something we had always understood as essential. Loss is a part of life, and if we live long enough, the losses will pile up behind us and around us, maybe within us too. Sometimes, even we ourselves become lost. A man had two sons. This story is a parable from the Bible. Jesus told it to the religious folks who were scandalized by his unreserved acceptance of unacceptable people. Those people somehow found their way to him, and he welcomed them with joy rather than judgment. And the religious leaders resented it. So he told them this story. A man had two sons. The younger one went to his father and asked for his share of his inheritance, even though the father was still very much alive. If you think this sounds kind of greedy, I agree with you. If you think it sounds like he sort of wished his father was already dead, you may be right. And if you are wondering what kind of financial jeopardy such a money grab might cause for the family business while the family is still trying to make a living, I'm right there with you. But the father in this story takes the loss. He divides his property between his two sons, and the younger one takes off for a far country where he spends it all on the most morally questionable things. He has nothing left when a severe famine hits. He hires himself out to feed pigs, a disgraceful job for a Jew. Nobody gives him anything. His loss is total. When he gets to the point where he is even looking at the pig slop with desire, he realizes he would be better off working for his father than dying of hunger. Through his own bad decisions, he has lost not only his inheritance, but also his identity as his father's son. He has basically treated his father as dead. He has essentially made himself dead to his family. He has killed his identity as son, as brother. Now he prepares a speech and heads home. Is he actually sorry or simply calculating, manipulative? Apparently it doesn't matter. While he is still far off, his father sees him, runs to him, throws arms around him, kisses him, interrupts his apology to call for a robe, a ring, sandals, a feast, a party. Let's eat and celebrate, he announces. For my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost, and now he's found. Of all the losses you have sustained in your life so far, what if you could undo the biggest, most heartbreaking one? If your biggest loss is the loss of a person, your parent, your child, your sibling, your spouse, your friend, your fiance. If the most shattering loss you've sustained so far has been the loss of a person you've loved, whether by death or other disaster, what lengths would you go to if that person returned? What lengths would you go to in order to welcome them home? To celebrate, to share that joy with everyone. Wouldn't your embrace of them be absolutely unconditional? Wouldn't you celebrate them without counting the cost? There is probably no price you would not pay to have them back in your arms. There is probably no price you would not pay to celebrate them, to welcome them, if they were to return. You would show them your love and keep on showing it.
With the party in this parable well underway, the older son in the story finally comes into view for the first time. He has been working in the field, which is what he has presumably been doing every day since his younger brother took off. Now, coming in from his work, he hears music and dancing. He calls one of the slaves over to ask what's happening, and the slave tells him his brother is home. His father has killed the fatted calf to celebrate. Who has been raising that calf? Whose robe, whose ring, whose sandals are those? Whose money is paying for that party? It doesn't belong to the younger brother. He's already spent everything he had. Everything that remains, isn't that all the older brother's inheritance? Everything that's left belongs to the one who never left. This steadfast, faithful older son, this is his inheritance. This party costs him something. And after all that he has watched his brother put his father through, how is he supposed to celebrate now? No wonder he's angry. No wonder he refuses to go in. Did he even get an invitation? Welcome his little brother home, sure, but let's set some limits this time. Let's set some expectations. Let's make sure that what he put us through before never happens again. Welcome him home, but let's don't throw a party. It's not fair. Grace never is. Sometimes, after a terrible loss, it's hard not to be resentful. It's hard not to be suspicious. It's hard not to be self-protective. Loss changes us, and not necessarily for the better, even if we get something back. Sometimes it may seem the only way to survive a loss is by letting the hurt turn to anger. And if we hold on to that anger long enough and nurse it well enough, it can turn into bitterness. Even if we find what we'd lost. Just as the father had run to meet his younger son while he was still far off, so now the father goes out to find his older son. He pleads with him to join this party. And the older son speaks his pain. All these years, I've been working like a slave for you. I have never disobeyed a word you've said. And you've never given me so much as a little goat so I could have a party with my friends. But this son of yours comes back, having squandered everything you gave him, and you kill the prize calf for him. I get it, older brother. I really do. Don't you? But I also hear what he has done to himself. Don't you? His sense of loss, his sense of burden and obligation, his pain, he has let it sharpen and deepen for so long that it has shaped how he sees himself and his father and his brother. He has made himself not a son, not a brother, but a slave. He, just like his younger brother, has removed himself from his family,
just not physically. He's cut himself off. He has had everything. He still has everything, but he cannot see it, so he cannot live like it. He has had everything, but by not living it, not living like it, he, like his little brother, has squandered it. He never left, but it sounds like he got lost anyway. I wonder what he'll do now. I wonder, will he go in and join that party? Jorge and Carlos and William and Wilbur were 25 years old when they finally found each other in Bogota, Colombia in 2013. Before that moment, they didn't have any idea of what they had lost. To find and to be found, what a beautiful thing. And what a painful thing it can be, too. Because even when what was lost has been found, you don't get to go back to the way things were before. The finding can come with its own new losses or grief. You can't go back to the way things could have been or should have been. You can't undo what was done. You can try, but there's no going back. There is only ever going forward. We don't have a choice about that. We just get to choose how we do it, with resistance or embrace, with resentment or joy. Jorge and Carlos and William and Wilbur chose the harder path. They chose the path of embrace, even though it meant accepting new self-understandings, new kinds of relationships. They had to reimagine and re-understand the story of their lives and their families. They had to expand their understanding of what it meant to be a brother. They determined to build something good out of a terrible mistake. They began to refer to themselves as four brothers. They started working to support each other's dreams and projects. They bought a house together. They throw parties. The price of joy is letting go what we thought should have been so that we can embrace what actually is. Maybe you've survived more loss than you ever thought possible. Maybe you are struggling to survive loss even now. Even so, beyond what you can imagine, you have also already been found. Whether we know it or not, whether we expect it or accept it or resent it or resist it, we have been embraced by the reckless, boundless, extravagant, affirming, accepting, joyous, welcoming love of God. In the midst of all our losses, and even when we ourselves feel lost, we are held in arms of joy and love without reservation or condition. You are always with me, the voice of God proclaims in Jesus. And all that is mine is yours. Can you join that party?
We have been given far more than we even understand. Now is our opportunity to give back what we're able and with joy. Loving and gracious God, we offer you our gratitude for all that we have, for your immense love for us and for all. Even as we struggle to accept the reality of that, we make these offerings as a sign of our faith, as a sign of our commitment to keep growing in grace and spreading it. Receive our gifts, our lives, our church, our all, and use it for the purposes of your grace and love in our world. In Jesus' name, amen. Recipients of amazing grace and peace and love, how can we help but share that with all? And now is our opportunity. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also.